Good morning, church family. Thank you so much for joining us today. A very warm welcome to anyone joining us for the first time this morning. We hope you enjoy your time with us. Now we are going into a time of giving, and Mr. Macarella is going to encourage us as we give.
Good morning, family. We thank God that He has kept us and continues to keep us during these trying times. This morning, I would like to echo what John said about 2 weeks ago when he thanked you for giving, for your generosity, pointing out that the lights here at church are still on, and more importantly, those who are in need are taken care of by you being generous. This reminds me of what Paul said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 when he said, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in great trial of affliction their abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely, willing, imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gift of the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." It seems strange what Paul is saying here, that they were in deep poverty, but they had abundance of joy. And it seems that he's saying that their joy was not dependent on what they had or did not have. It was not dependent on the material things around them. What has been a blessing to me in these times is seeing the opposite of what is the norm or what we are expecting in our church. We are more apart, yet we are more connected to each other. We have less, but we are sharing more. We have received in the COVID relief offering beyond what we're expecting. And for that, we would like to say thank you. Thank you for your generosity. In these times, we appear to be weak, yet we are shouldering each other's burdens even more. I was encouraged last week when Wunzukani read from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 2, when he read about shouldering each other's burdens. It seems counterintuitive to be reaching out during these times when we are in need. The natural instinct seems to be to want to take care of just myself and my family. But Paul says we are part of one body. If one member is hurting, I'm also hurting. Your simple act of reaching out to someone could be someone's answered prayer. So during this time, I encourage you to continue to be reaching out even when it looks inconvenient. So this time, I would normally say pass the buckets, but it's not physically passing of the buckets. Our banking details will be shown on the screen. So you, through an EFT or direct bank deposit, you can give during this time. God bless.
Good morning, church. It's so good for us to be able to meet together again, although we are still using technology, but we thank God for the privilege of being able to meet together again and open the scriptures and get to hear what God wants to say to us in our lives. And the title of my message this morning is Dealing with Temptation, and the subtitle is The Power of Gradual. And I just wanted to start by letting you know one of the things that I am afraid of in life. You know, in life, I'm afraid of a lot of things, but this one that I want to let you know of this morning is probably within my top three of things that I'm most afraid of. But before I reveal mine, I'm just wondering, what are you most afraid of in life? And the thing for me is this: it is the power of gradual. If you don't know what that means, I'm going to begin to unpack it just now. You know, and so this week, beginning of this week, we started a brand new Bible reading plan in the book of Revelation. And there's a part where it says there, so if you go to Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, this is what it says. It says, "But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." This is a very intense passage of scripture. And I was just thinking, and I would like to ask you this question. How many men and women, powerful men and women of God, do you know of who were once used by God to do mighty things, you know, whose lives ended up in a huge scandal? And I'm talking corruption, I'm talking embezzlement, illegal activities, and even sexual sin. Think of even Solomon and all his wealth and wisdom. This is where he ended up. And I find one common factor in all of their stories, and it is this. Their backsliding happened gradually. It didn't happen suddenly or even immediately, but slowly over a period of time. Jesus here talks to a church that's doing better than most churches on all categories. And yet, this is what he says. He says, "Nevertheless, I have this thing against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first." How does a person who was once deeply in love with the Lord Jesus Christ get to a place where they lose their love? I'll tell you what. It happens gradually. It happens over time. How does a man who has been married for 30 years decide to leave his wife and his kids and get married to a woman half his age? It happens gradually. This is what I believe. I believe every person who gets into an affair doesn't do it the first time the opportunity presents itself. It's often gradually, and it happens in the mind first, and it happens over a period of time. It is as you and I continue to indulge these thoughts in our minds that we get ourselves closer and closer towards the cliff where we eventually get to a place where we commit the sin that we're thinking about in our minds. Every believer who gives themselves into sin often doesn't do it right off the bat. It happens gradually as you compromise more and more here and there on small things and thinking that, you know, these are just small things. They're not going to contribute towards the bigger things. This is how we get to a place where we actually begin to commit sin in our lives. And so some of us may be tempted right now to do something that is illegal to get some more income into our lives. Or some are even tempted to walk away from Christianity itself. Think about some of the things that you once made a firm stance against in your life, saying, "I will never ever do that." Now think about those things that you once made a stance that you would never do, but you actually ended up doing. How did it happen? How did you move from that stance to actually doing the thing that you saw that you would never do? And I think it happened gradually. It happened bit by bit, a little bit in your life. And this is how the devil works. The devil, I believe the devil is more persistent than some of the Christians in terms of his schemes and his attacks. And temptation is one of the few things in life that we all as human beings have in common. Each and every person faces temptation in their lives. The Bible tells us that even the Lord Jesus Christ himself actually faced some temptation in his life. Nevertheless, he was completely different to us in how he responded to temptation. And I believe there are some of us right now during the lockdown that are dealing with more temptation now than we have ever dealt with ever before in our lives. You feel like the temptation is so huge, it is almost crushing you. Sometimes you feel like you're about to lose your mind because of the pressure of the temptation that is in your life. You are not sure how much longer you can hold on. If that's you, I want you to know that I know the feeling. I know it very well. But most importantly, Jesus Christ knows exactly what you are going through. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 assures us of this. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet he was without sin." He doesn't just know what you and I are going through intellectually, but he knows it practically. He experienced it firsthand in his own life. And yet he did not give in to any of the temptations that came his way. Look at him for strength and ability to overcome your own set of temptations. And so some of us right now are the most vulnerable we have ever been in our lives. Remember this, the devil's strategy is to divide and conquer. Right now we are physically divided, which makes this an opportune time for the devil to try his best to get us to backslide. This is why I believe we need to intercede for one another now more than ever before. And so if things are going well in your life right now, that doesn't mean that things are going well for everyone else. And so if you have the moment, if you have the time, spend some time in prayer, intercede, pray for someone else. Because some of us might be going through severe trials and temptations in our lives. And this is what I know about sin in my life, and I think in yours it is the same, that sin tries to convince you and I that it can deliver the feelings of deep satisfaction and wholeness that we are longing for. But it cannot, it never has, and it never will. Let me ask you this. Have you ever wanted to do something you shouldn't do, but you wanted to do it so badly because you were truly convinced that doing it will bring you satisfaction? You debated it over and over in your mind until finally you decided you're just gonna go for it. Do you remember how you felt immediately after you finished doing it? Do you remember the feeling of guilt, the disgust, the shame, and the anger? That's what sin does. It always overpromises and never delivers. In the history of the world, there is not a single person who gave into temptation and thanked himself for it afterwards. Giving ourselves into temptation is always followed up by regret, by guilt, and by shame. Sin is not worth it. So don't do it. Don't give in to temptation. Continue fighting the fight. And there is only one person. There's only one person in life who can give you the deep desires and longings of your heart. And his name is Jesus Christ. He can give you that feeling of deep satisfaction and contentment. That feeling of wholeness and completeness. That feeling that we are all longing for and looking for in our lives. Saint Augustine of Hippo once said this. He said this about God. He says, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." And Pascal said it this way. He said, "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each man, which cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only God the Creator made known through Jesus Christ." And Jesus Christ says this in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, "The thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life." And so if you know that you have the emptiness right now inside of you that is caused by that God-shaped vacuum, you may have tried to fill it with so many other things in the past. Each time it looked as if it was working in the beginning, but only to be left feeling worse than you did before. Perhaps it's time for you to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. His purpose is not to spoil your life. His purpose is not to make your life boring. His purpose is not to steal your life, but to give you a rich and a satisfying life, a life that surpasses even that of your wildest imaginations. If there's one thing that the devil doesn't want you and I to do, it is to feed our spirits, reading the Bible and spending time in prayer. The devil may be evil, but he is not stupid. He doesn't give up very easily, and he will try more and more to get you and I to be so busy that we don't have time to spend time reading the Bible and even in prayer. If he can succeed in doing that, mark my words, it is only a matter of time until he succeeds in getting you and I to give in to the temptation. Given enough time, unless something changes, we will all give in to temptation. And you could be contemplating an affair right now, or you could be thinking about going back to something that you once walked away from. I don't know what you are going through right now, but I know that you do not want to do it. Something inside of you doesn't want to go back. Something inside of you doesn't want to give in to the temptation that you are faced with. But the temptation is so real sometimes. It feels just as real as anything else in your life. You don't want to do it. And sometimes you don't even think you have the strength to resist it. But I know this, and I want you to know this morning that you do have the strength to be able to resist it. You can do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13 assures me of this. Paul says this. He says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. And so you see, God believes that you and I are able to withstand the temptation that is before us. And he is so faithful that he provides for us a way of escape, a way for us to be able to escape the temptation that we are faced with right now. And as I conclude, I just want to leave you with three practical things that I think can help you and I in our fight against temptation. And I'm just going to go through them quickly. And the first one is, see it coming. See the temptation coming. Recognize it as it comes. Know that the temptation itself is not sin, but acting upon the temptation is sin. The devil wants you and I to be convinced and to believe that the thought coming into our minds means that we have already sinned. And he comes and he says, you might as well go through with it. You might as well do the whole thing because you've already started in your own mind. But we need to know, you and I need to recognize, and we need to know that the thought coming into our minds, that is not sin in itself. That is just a temptation. But what we do based on the thought, that is either sin or not, you know, based on our action. And so take every thought that comes into your mind captive. This is what the Bible says we do, you know, that we take every thought captive. And the second point is, we need to expose it. You and I need to expose the temptation and even some of the sin that is happening in our lives. We need to expose it first and foremost and most importantly to God in prayer. Be open with God in your time of prayer. Be vulnerable. Tell him everything that is going on in your life because he cares for you. He cares about what is happening in our lives. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says this. It says, if we confess our sins to God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so as you come into the presence of God, as you humble yourself and as you pray to God, as you confess your sins and as you ask for the forgiveness, know this, that he is faithful and just and he will forgive us of our sins and he will also cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Reverend Hill once said this. He said, everybody who has ever backslid in their walk with Christ first backslid in their area of prayer. This is the first area that always goes just before we backslide. You know, we stop praying. We begin to compromise in the life of prayer or in our prayer life. And so I believe that the second thing that we need to do in the area of exposing the temptation and the sin in our lives is actually to find a person that you can trust, a person, you know, that loves you, a person that values you, and begin to open yourself up and to confess some of the things that are happening in your life to that person. Because the Bible says this in James chapter 5 verse 16. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Now, this is not saying go around telling each and every person that you meet your business, you know, telling everyone everything that is happening in our lives. But we need to find a few people. It can be one, it can be two people in our lives that we trust, that we can open ourselves up to and confess so that they can pray with us in the things that we are going through. And the third one, and finally, it is to repent. It doesn't matter how far along the road you are. You could have already given in to temptation. You could have been defeated by now in your own eyes. But you can still choose to stop, turn around, and walk back to God. You can still make a decision right now that you are going to turn around, that you are not going to continue pursuing the sin. You're not going to continue living in that sin. You can make a decision to repent right now. It does not matter what you have done. It does not matter how far you have gone. It does not matter where you are right now. You know, you are never too far gone. You can always press the stop button. You know, you can always choose that you are going to walk back to God. Even the prodigal son had to make a decision at some point to say, you know what, I'm going to get up from here and I'm going to go back to my father. And so wherever you find yourself right now, know this, that you are not too far gone. Your story is not hopeless. It is not too late. You can still make a decision to press pause, to turn around and to go back to God. And so I'd like to leave you with this poem by Michael Coist. And this is what it says. It says, I have fallen, Lord, once more. I can't go on. I'll never succeed. I'm ashamed. I don't dare look at you. And yet I struggled, Lord, for I knew you were right near me, bending over me, watching. But temptation blew like a hurricane, and instead of looking at you, I turned my head away. I stepped aside. While you stood silent, sorrowful, like the spurned fiancé who sees his loved one carried away by the enemy. When the wind died down as suddenly as it had risen, when the lightning ceased after proudly streaking the darkness, all of a sudden I found myself alone, ashamed, disgusted, with my sin in my hands. This sin I selected the way a customer makes his purchase. This sin that I have paid for and cannot return, for the shopkeeper is no longer there. This tasteless sin, this odorless sin, this sin that sickens me, that I have wanted but want no more, that I have imagined, sought, played with, fondled for a long time, that I finally embraced while turning coldly away from you, my arms outstretched, my eyes and heart irresistibly drawn. This sin that I have grasped and consumed with gluttony, it's mine now, but it possesses me as the spiderweb holds captive the net. It's mine. It sticks to me. It flows in my veins. It fills my heart. It has slipped in everywhere as darkness slips into the forest at dusk, and it fills all the patches of light. I can't get rid of it. I run from it the way one tries to lose a stray dog, but it catches up with me and bounds joyfully against my leg. Everyone must notice it. I'm so ashamed that I feel like crawling to avoid being seen. I'm ashamed of being seen by my friends. I'm ashamed of being seen by you, Lord. For you loved me and I forgot you. I forgot you because I was thinking of myself. And one can't think of several persons at once. One must choose, and I chose. And your voice and your look and your love hurt me. They weigh me down. They weigh me down more than my sin, Lord. Don't look at me like that, for I am naked. I am dirty. I am down, shattered, with no strength left. I dare make no more promises. I can only lie bowed before you. And then the father responds. This is what he says. He says, come on now, son. Look up. Isn't it mainly your vanity that is wounded? If you loved me, you would have grieved, but you would trust me. Do you think that there's a limit to God's love? Do you think that for a moment I stopped loving you? But you still rely on yourself, son. You must rely only on me. Ask my pardon and get up quickly. You see, it's not falling that is the worst, but staying on the ground. And so right now, you may also be on the ground. You may also have succumbed to the sin, and you find yourself on the ground. Why don't you make a decision right now that you will not stay on the ground one more moment? Get up, dust yourself off, and continue fighting the fight. May God be with you. May God strengthen you and bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord Jesus, as your word says, that you are that high priest that understands everything that we are going through. Thank you, Lord God, that we do not have to be ashamed, Father God, of the things that we are going through, of the temptations that we are going through. We do not have to hide them from you, oh Lord God, because you know exactly what we are going through, because you were also tempted in every way just as we are, and yet you were without fault. I pray that you help us, help each and every one of us, Lord God, that is going through temptation right now. Help us to be able to stand. Help us to not compromise. Help us to not give in to the temptation that is before us. And I pray for each and every person that has already succumbed to the temptation, that has already given in to the temptation. I pray that you help us to be able to crawl back to you, Father God, to come back to you, to seek and to ask for the forgiveness that we so desperately need. Help us, Father God, to not in our shame to run away from you, but to run towards you, because we know that you love us, Father God, and you want us, Lord Jesus, to be set free from this chain and from this bondage of sin in our lives. I pray for each and every person right now, Holy Spirit, that you minister into our hearts, that you touch us, that you do your work in us, so that we may reflect the person and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray all this in Jesus Christ's mighty name, so that your name and yours alone may be glorified, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. I hope that this message has benefited you in your life, and I trust that God is going to continue to minister and to do his work in and through you. God bless you. Have a great day.
We hope you had an incredible time with us. Please do take some time to meditate and respond on the word you just heard. We believe God wants all of us to live a victorious life, even in temptations. For every parent homeschooling their kids right now, we pray that God energizes and restores you. Enjoy the rest of your week, and God bless you.